Praise the Lord. Message number 127. The title of the message, Put God First, Part 2. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that you give us. And Lord, you have a purpose of sending your word to your church and to your people. Lord, I pray that this message of yours will help each and everyone who listen to honor you and to revere you and to put you first in his life. Lord, I pray you arrange the message in the way that you want it to be. Anoint my lips, O God, to speak your goodness and your faithfulness to your people. Lord, we pray that whatever the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We spoke in the first part of the message, what are the things that we might not be aware of that make us putting God not the first in our life and make us turn away from Him and from serving Him. Turning away from God, it is a gradual process, and it may be over a period of time, and the worker and maybe you among them are not aware of it. We will read some scriptures at the beginning of this message. Speak about one of the workers of Paul, how he was with Paul and how he is little by little move away from God's service and move away from putting God first in his life, and of course move away from God's blessing and God's approval. When we don't put God first in our life will become more difficult, blessing far away and troubles nearby. In book of Philemon and verse 23 and verse 24, it tells Paul is writing in his letter the following. He said, Epaphras, my fellow prisoners in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Here Paul is speaking about people who send greetings to who? To Philemon. Among them is Demas, and he mentions that these people and Demas among them, they are his fellow workers. They are his workers in the ministry, in serving the Lord, in building the church of God and his kingdom. Demas was a worker with Paul. Paul was in a prison and he was with him, bearing the suffering and doing the work of God. In book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse, book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul also speaking about Demas. He mentioned Demas in his letter. He say, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. He is still around Paul, he sent the greetings, but Paul did not mention that he is his co-workers. we may not feel much about him here that he's away, but there is no strong recommendation from Paul about who Demas is. We may say he is okay, he is fine, he is continuing his service. But if we read the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9 to verse 11, we can see clearly that the deterioration in the spiritual condition of Demas. Paul, he is still here in prison, and 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul has written, or the last letter that is we have that Paul had wrote to the church. Paul saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 9, do your best to come to me quickly. He told him, come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. What Paul say here about Demas? Demas had deserted him because he loved this world and he went to other place. Paul stood in a prison, and possibly Demas had been relieved and released. Instead of that, he will continue to be faithful to God, he went back to the world and move away from God's service, from Paul, and from helping in building God's church and promoting the things of the kingdom of God. What are the things that took Demas away from God's service and took him away from putting God first? And what are the things that it may entangle you and pull you away from God's service and pull you away from putting God first? We had reviewed in the previous message what are the factors that make the disciple desert the Lord. And I will repeat this factor. As I mentioned, write them down and check yourself. First, arguments. If you get involved in arguments and dispute, that will make you putting God not in the first place. Second, love for titles and names and prestige. Looking for titles. Looking for names. Looking for prestige will take away first from your life and priorities. Third point, pride and overconfidence. Refuse to be corrected and refuse to humble down. Fourth, bad of stewardship. You are not good manager of what God had given you. And this way you are not putting God first in your life. Number five, lack of prayer. Prayerlessness. It makes you not putting God first. Number six, love of money. Love of money is part of worldliness. All these factors are worldly things that make you putting God not the first in your life. Number seven, anger. And then you fight. Number eight, rebelliousness, fighting back. Number nine, keeping connection to get benefit. Many people, they keep connection They think that those people, they will help them. And they become their idols. And those idols, these connections will put them down. Number 10, friends. Including girlfriends and boyfriends. Will take away God to be first in your life and your priorities. Possibly Demas was entangled in one or more of these things. Check yourself. Don't say no. You are not aware, get involved in an argument, or you find yourself having love of money, pride and overconfidence, you don't like to be corrected or admonished or receive advice. Little of that and a little anger, little also rebelliousness, friends and yoke and fellowship with non-believers, love of money, lack of prayer, all this will put you down and you find yourself away from God's service. You deserted God and the church and the ministry. In the book of Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16 and 17, it tells us how the angels of the Lord who took Lot out from Sodom and Gomorrah, what they did to him and how they took them out and how they warned them the things that they don't need to do. Book of Genesis chapter 19 verse 16 and 17. They say when he hesitated, Lot was hesitated to go outside and leave Sodom and Gomorrah. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. When he hesitated, the men grasped their hands. They put them by force outside. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." So here, when they took them out, they give them warning, "Flee for your lives, run, run the race. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." They told them, run for your lives. Where? To the mountain. They showed them the target. This is the target. The mountain is there. You have to run until you reach the mountain, and we need to run until we hear His voice, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Run to the mountains. We have a target. We are waiting for the Lord to come. We need to run the race. And he said to them also, "Don't look back." Now, if you will run, how you will look back? You are running, and in your mind is the mountain, is this target. When you look back, what that mean? It is in your mind. It is in your thought. That you are no more concentrating on what is ahead of you, but what is behind the worldliness. These 10 factors that I mention are very important factor of backsliding and turning away from the Lord. Well, you're supposed to run. And he said, "Don't look back." So How you will look back? You cannot look back while you are running. You need to stop, but before you stop, what you need to do? You need to slow down, slow down. Then you stop, and then you turn and look back. You see, it is not a, it is not only one step. It is a skid row deterioration. Started in your mind, the thoughts. Then you decide to look. What you need to do? You have to slow down. No more the focus, the mountains. No more the focus is that I'm looking forward for the coming of the Lord. I forget about that. Then I stop. Give me space. I don't like to serve God. I am busy with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and good excuse you give. And then bye-bye church, bye-bye God, bye-bye ministry. And you look back. Backsliding and turning away from God. It is step by step. Be aware of that. God is warning you. Put Him first. Because there are factors pulling you back. But there are factors you need to look forward. Paul said in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, he say in verse 12 and 13 and 14, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said Jesus had pulled me out and He took hold of me, and now I press on. That's what the angels told to his family. Flee! Run the race! That's what Paul said. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That told them, run! Flee! Toward the mountains. Run the race! Flee! Look forward for His coming. He is coming. Run the race. Brothers, verse 13, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. No more looking back. No more slowing down. No more stopping. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. And that's the way, that is the type of walk that Christ wants us to walk with Him. To put God first, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That is the type of walk that will bring salvation into our lives. Christ did His part. He pulled us. He died for our sin. Now we need to run the race. We need to forget what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God has called me not earthward, not backward, but heavenward, forward and upward toward heaven. And we need as a church, we need to go together, running, helping one another to move forward. Lot, he ran with his family, but his wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. We need to help one another. We need to help our families. We need to help our brother and sister to move forward with us, encouraging them that Christ is coming, to get rid of all these factors that hindering them from putting God first in their life. Put God first. Don't be like Demas, who deserted Paul and the church and the ministry and went away back because he loved the world. If you love God, you need to love His church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Say here, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Christ loved the church, and what He did, He gave Himself for the church. Christ loved God, that's why He loved the church. We do the same. We love God, we love Christ, and we love His church. Don't be like Demas, who deserted Paul, who deserted the ministry, and went away. We need to love God, and we need to love His church. We cannot make it to heaven without being part of His church. Colossians chapter 1, Paul speak about his struggle and his labor for the sake of the church. Paul say in verse 24, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I lift up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of His body, which is the church." He say, "I am happy and I rejoice for all the suffering that I have for your sake, and I lifting up my flesh and see what is still lacking, comparing to what Christ suffered for me and suffered for the church. What still I have not yet suffered, I am willing to suffer for the sake of His body, which is the church. For the sake of the church, I am willing to suffer." This is how we put God first. In verse 25, He said, "I have become His servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." Paul became the servant of the church, commissioned by God. Serving the Lord, to be the church servant, is the highest profession in the world. But of course, the salary is not much. When you start to serve God, the income is not much. But it is the highest profession. And there is reward here on earth to those who serve God, and in heaven to those who serve the Lord. Paul say, "I have become a servant. I have become the servant in the church." And that is, he's proud of it, and he's satisfied, and he's happy putting God first, is serving in his church. In verse 28, what Paul say? We proclaim him. That is how to serve God. That is how to put God first. We proclaim the message. The message should be range out from the church. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, teaching and making disciple, correcting, admonishing, counseling, giving advices, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. The work of God through his church, make disciple, is that the disciple will be perfected in Christ. Paul says in verse 29, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul says, I labor. And that's how we put God first. We labor for his church, using all the energy, struggling with all his energy. And Paul says, which is so powerfully works in me. When you start to serve God, you have the energy of the Holy Spirit. And the energy of the Holy Spirit is so powerful energy. And those who serve God, they enjoy the blessing of the Lord. They enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit. They enjoy seeing miracles and signs and wonders. They enjoy the healing of God. And that is the value of putting God first. When you put God first, God will honor you. God will help you. God will support you. God will make your life more easier, because the Holy Spirit is working mightily, powerfully in you, as you decided and willingly moving forward, pressing on toward the goal to serve God, to gain the victory, and to grasp the goals that is set ahead of us, pressing on toward it, waiting for his coming to hear his voice. Well done, my good and faithful servant, and to meet him in the air, in the sky, face to face. To put God first is to care for his church. The church is in the heart of God. Why the church is important? Because when the Lord gave birth to us, he did not put us in the streets, but he put us among his family. The church is the family of God, is the household of God, and is the place to nurture the new believer. The church is the place also that the message will be ranged out, and the message will be given to make disciple, where the word of God is there, and discipleship process is to continue on in the church. The church is where the place that God will raise up workers to serve him. That's why when Demas left Paul, he is a fellow workers with Paul to serve God. He not only left Paul, he not only left the church, but he left God himself. In book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 and 20, Paul said, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and member of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief corner stone. So here clearly that the church is God's household. When we serve God and his church, we are putting God first in our life. In the book of Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus say, Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus replied, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus say, if you start to walk with God and serve Him and you look back, you are unfit in the kingdom of God. But we understand how we look back, how people look back. It means that problem is already in their mind. They have taken decision not to run, but to slow down. And instead of looking upward and heavenward, forward, they are looking downward, slowing down. And then they will take decision to stop. Leave us alone, give us space. We are so tired, we want to take rest. And when you leave them, they will turn and look back and become pillar of salt. So don't turn back. Be ready to serve the Lord and continue to serve Him. God had called you, don't put aside your commitment to God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, the word of God encourages us. Say, Hebrews 10:25. You say, let us not give up meeting together. And this is the church meeting. As some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here, let us not give up meeting together. Our weekly worship, midweek worship, our Bible studies, meeting for prayer meeting for visitation, meeting to evangelize, reaching new people. Let us meet. And that's here, when we put God first, we are putting His church first, not our priorities and our personal life and schedules and our comfort area. No, putting God first and serving Him. Let us not give up meeting together. It's not a habit, but a service, priorities. We understand. That's what God wants from us. We need to serve Him. We need to work and be servant in His church. And let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Which day? The day of the coming of the Lord. I press on toward the goal that Christ Jesus had called me heavenward. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your word, Your goodness, Your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that this message will encourage Your people to walk faithfully in the ways of Yours. I pray for revival, I pray for more servants to be raised up to serve You and do their part in building up Your kingdom and moving toward the things that You call them to do for You. Oh God, I pray the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished and will be a great harvest of righteousness. Let Your name be lifted up and glorified. There will be more ministries, more souls to be saved, and more workers to be raised up to serve You. Oh Lord, bless us, enlarge our territory, Let your hands be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.